session number 24897, reel 1.
General Holm, Reel 1.
Can you tell me if there was a tradition of military service in your family background?
No, none at all, as far as I know. I had an uncle who was retired as a captain RM, but otherwise not as far as I know.
When you were growing up, did you ever have any thoughts of becoming a soldier?
No, none.
Did you do any military training when you were at school?
We were in. I was at school at Winchester, and was in, of course, the OTC. And we used to, I forget how many, we had an hour or two every week, and then a fortnight's camp in August.
Can you remember what sort of syllabus of training you followed in the OTC?
Not really, no. I remember camp. I always enjoyed camp. We did quite a lot of drill. We did a little bit about tactics. We took Certificate A, and that was about it.
Do you remember what sort of tactics you were practicing on your annual camps?
I suppose they were about company level, I suppose. I can't really remember.
Do you remember if there was an emphasis particularly on the offensive or the defensive?
No, I don't remember. No.
Remember doing any digging?
No, I don't. I don't, actually. We might have, but I certainly don't remember it, no.
Who was actually instructing you?
The masters, of course. There were, I don't know how many masters joined the OTC, but I suppose half a dozen. And there was a man, one of the housemasters was called Jack Parr, who had fought in the First World War, of course. And as far as I remember, most of the time I was in the OTC, he was the boss.
Do you remember if he made reference to his own experiences when he was...
No, he didn't. And that was, looking back on it, that was the one of the sad things I felt, that we were told nothing, really, at school, about the First World War or the experiences, because there were a lot of masters, of course, who had fought in the First World War. And, no, we never discussed it, as far as I remember.
Must have been also a lot of old boys of the school who'd
served. Oh, yes.
Served.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
You were growing up in the 20s and 30s. Do you remember if you had any anticipation of war, if there was a time when you felt that a war was likely or a time when you felt that war was unavoidable?
I don't think we thought much about it. Certainly not when we were at school. And it wasn't really, I suppose, until 1938, that we started to think about it seriously, after Chamberlain had come back from Munich. And then, of course, when the thing started to go wrong, I think we did think it was inevitable.
Did you have any idea about how the war might be fought, about what its military characteristics might be?
No, I don't think we did. Because I, at that time, before I joined the army, I didn't really... Apart from the OTC, which was very local and simple, we didn't know anything about it. I think the interesting thing is, when we look back on it now, we never knew how we were going to win the war, but we never gave a thought to the fact that we could possibly lose it.
So you're always confident?
Yeah, I think everybody was, basically. We thought, no, this will be all right in the end, but how it will be, we didn't know.
What were you planning to do then when you left school?
I worked for 3 years in London with a building firm called Bovis. Oh.
Still current, I think.
Yes, I think they're called something else, but I think, yes.
Were you going to be an architect or...?
No, I was being trained to be a member of the construction firm. I did it for 3 years. The first year, I was employed on the building sites, going round each trade in turn. And then I went into the office, where I was for the next 2 years, learning the various bits of it in the office.
It's a sort of management apprenticeship.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was your first contact with the army?
War was declared, was it the 3rd of September, 39, on the Sunday? And about the Tuesday, 2 days later, I got a little postcard from the War Office telling me to report to 161 Octu at Sandhurst. I think it was on the 20th of September.
Do you know why you'd been selected for Octu? Was it?
Well, I didn't realise it at the time, but when we left school, we were all automatically put on a thing called the Officer Cadet Reserve. And, I mean, nobody asked us, but we were all put on this list who'd been in the OTC. And I suppose those records were stored away in the War Office. And on the outbreak of war, I was just over 21. So I suppose that's why I was in the first batch.
You got Cert A and that was it.
Yes. And I suppose I was at the right age. I suppose they started calling up people who were 21.
What did you think when you got this postcard?
I was quite excited, I think. You know, I mean, we didn't know what the future would hold, but this was going to affect everybody, and I think I was quite pleased in a way, quite excited.
Sense of adventure.
Yeah, and I don't think I enjoyed living in London much, really, looking back on it. So I was quite pleased to have a change.
What did your firm say when you told them you were...
Oh, none at all. They said, good luck. You know, fine.
What? What happened then when you arrived at the Octo?
Well, I suppose not quite like what the cadets do now, because, but I think we were given a great welcome. Mm. And in a way, it was like going back to school. Here was this lovely place, lots of playing fields, everything well organised. You didn't really have to think again.
Where were you living?
At Winchester.
Family
were in Winchester.
When you came to Octo, where did they put you? Where was your accommodation?
Oh, in the old building. Oh. But that's about all I can remember, yes.
What was on the syllabus of training that you did here in the Octo?
Well, a lot. I think most of it was sort of administrative in a way. We did go out on exercises up at the back on Barossa. But that was we were only here 4 months, and that was rather than the last month. And I don't think they were very frequent or very extensive. I can't remember doing much outdoor work. We did quite a lot on the square, as you can imagine. And we did a lot in the classroom.
Do you remember what you learned in the classroom? What sort of subjects were being taught?
Well, I think, again, mostly administrative and organisational. And the staff... I remember about the staff, the NCOs were all the regular staff still, and they were absolutely marvellous. And I remember the Sergeant Majors cottoned on to this new intake very quickly, because the ages in our company varied from, I was about the youngest, and varied up to people who were 30, one or two very successful businessmen, who, I don't say they had a contempt for authority, that would be quite wrong, but they weren't too impressed when they were shouted at. You know, and the Sergeant Majors cottoned on very quickly. I thought they were brilliant. The officers were a mixture of the regular staff, some of whom were the regular officers, already been posted away, I think, and some reservists. And my particular platoon commander had fought in the First World War. He left his last active service was in 1919 in White Russia, and he hadn't been in the army since, so he was a bit rusty.
A bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, a bit old-fashioned. Rather First World War tactics, I think.
Do you remember what regiment he was from?
No, I don't. I don't.
How did you take to being shouted at? And
I don't think I minded too much.
And you had 3 years in civil life, hadn't you, away from school, then it was back to school, but with the OTC out of control, as they always say.
Yeah, no, I don't think I minded much. I thought that they were... I can't say how marvellous the Sergeant Majors were, because they took it all in, this change of...
How did they cope with these slightly older and more sceptical cadets who they had to control? Did they change their style?
Well, I think they probably did, because I didn't know quite how they treated the old cadets, but I thought they were very good indeed, yeah.
Do you remember anyone else from your platoon at that time?
There was one bloke called, I forget his Christian name, Hooper, who, and I don't know which regiment he joined, but curiously enough, he came to us in our battalion in the autumn of 44. He wasn't in our regiment. You know how people had all got mixed up.
Cross-posted.
Yes. And he came to me as my company second in command. And we hadn't seen each other since we'd been in this company at Sandhurst. Unfortunately, he wasn't in Israel. He got killed.
That's bad luck.
Yes. But I can't really remember any of the others.
Did you have a standard working day?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Do you think you learned anything really new while you were here, or was it reinforcement of what you'd learned on the OTC?
Oh, no, I think I learned tremendously. I don't think we learned all that much in the OTC, really. And this gave us a jolly good grounding, but it was only 4 months.
Yes.
And when we went out into the wide world after 4 months, it was quite a shock.
How was it that you joined the Essex Regiment? What was the procedure by which you were chosen for that regiment, or you chose it?
I didn't choose it, no, because I didn't know anything about the army. In those days, you still, as far as I remember, you still had to be accepted into a regiment by the colonel of the regiment. Well, I suppose half or three quarters of the way through our time here, there were people beginning to say, what regiment do you want to go into, this, that and the other. And there was a very nice chap here called Captain Tony Simmons, who was in the Essex Regiment. I don't know what he ran the games and the physical instruction here. And I played football, soccer for Sandhurst here when I was here. So I got to know him quite well because he ran all the matches. And he said to me one day, what regiment do you want to go into? So I said, I don't really know, but I've lived in the south of England all my life. So I think I'd better go into a south of England regiment. So he said, why not come into mine? So I said, thank you very much. And that was it.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Of course, Winchester used to have a connection with the Rifle Brigade and the 60th.
And the Green Jackets, as they are now. Yes, indeed. Mm. Yes. In fact, when I came here, we were privates, of course. We weren't called cadets.
We were not gentlemen cadets.
We were private soldiers.
Private soldiers, yes.
I was in the Rifle Brigade.
Oh, were you?
Because I suppose all the people who've been at Winchester were put in because we were in Winchester.
The Rifle Brigade would have sponsored your OTC then.
I think that's right.
The school.
Yes, I think that's right. Yes.
So you joined the Essex Regiment really knowing nothing about it except that it had produced a decent officer who
that's
you met
right.
at Sandhurst.
That's right. And it belonged to the south of England.
It belonged to the south of England. I think you said you joined them in January of 1940.
We went to the depot. Oh, well, we left here, I think, about the 20th of January. I think we probably had a fortnight's leave.
Yes.
So it must have been the beginning of February.
Right.
I went to the depot at Worley.
What happened to you when you got there?
I was given charge, or not charge, but I was posted to a platoon. And, of course, it was then an ITC, wasn't it? Infantry Training Centre.
Yes.
But I think that in those days still, the soldiers who were there, I think they were all from Essex still. I think it was still territorial.
I was going to ask you about the men in your platoon. How did they receive you when you were presented to them as their new platoon commander?
Well, I hope they didn't mind too much. They were all new, of course, too, you see.
They were recruits.
They were all called up. Oh. They hadn't volunteered to serve in the army.
So you had a platoon of conscripts?
Indeed. Mm. Yes, except for the platoon sergeant.
Ah, tell me about him. Who was he?
He was when I got there, he was a very father figure. I think his name was Sergeant Gardner. Mm. And he treated his platoon like children. And he was very good indeed. He was a father figure to them all.
How old was he?
40, was he? Something. I think he was sort of quite a long service.
An old regular?
Yes, oh yes, old regular. And then I was only at Worley for a few weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And I don't know what happened to him, but we had another platoon sergeant called Oliver, Sergeant Oliver.
Was he similar to Sergeant
No,
Gardner?
Younger.
Younger.
Younger. And I saw in our regimental magazine this year, I read, he's still alive, age 97, living in some home or something in Essex. He was here, or was he at the Staff College? He was at the Staff College eventually, as a accommodation chap.
Do you remember anything about the soldiers in that first platoon, where they came from, what sort of occupations they were from? And
not really, no. But some of them were posted to the 2nd Battalion like I was, 2nd Essex. And some of them served right through the war with me.
How were they taking to the shock of being in the army and being given basic training?
All right, I think. I can't remember any problems. And they were young. I mean, younger than me, I think, some of them, 19, 20, and cheerful.
What sort of things were they doing then? What was the content of the training while you were there for that couple of months?
A lot of weapon training, of course. A lot of weapon training. I don't think anything more than platoon exercises at that level.
Well, were you able to do those locally around Warley?
Yes. I can't quite remember where, but there were various local training areas.
It's a big training area at Colchester, isn't there?
Yeah, we didn't go that way. It was all local around Warley.
What about range facilities? Were you able to get a full course of musketry?
Yeah, we used to go to Purfleet. I think there were big ranges at Purfleet.
Yes, on the marshes.
Yeah, and I think I remember going to Purfleet and doing the rifle.
How did you get on with the rifle? Did you find it a
it was the Lee Enfield, wasn't it?
Short magazine Lee Enfield.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. All right, yeah. I think we didn't know any better. I think we got on with it all right.
Yeah. Did you have the Bren gun at that stage?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think we had.
They'd given in the Lewis.
Oh, yes. No Lewis gun. No. Mm. Although it was talked about a lot by some of the
older soldiers.
Yes.
So you took to the rifle. That was all right.
Yeah.
What was life like in the mess? Was this...
Well, by today's standard, it was pretty strict. And
strict in the sense of being formal?
Formal. Pretty strict and formal. And people weren't... I don't think they looked down on us, but all these regulars and our lot at the depot then, the officers... had been with the 2nd, some of them had served in India for about nearly 20 years between the wars, and they were a bit stereotyped in their behaviour and everything else. And I don't think they had much time for subalterns, regular ones, and as for wartime subalterns, I mean, I don't think they, you know, gave us much time a day. But it was all right, you know.
Who was in charge of domesticating you? Was there a senior subaltern who was supposed to take...
No, I don't remember that at all. But I do remember that when I joined Warley, there were certainly half a dozen of us who joined on the same day. Oh. So we had a little sort of...
You had a gang.
We weren't friendless.
Yes. It's a good thing to have chums to hang around
That's
with.
That's right. That's right. Mm.
What did you think was likely to happen then when you got to Warley? Did you have any idea that you would soon be posted out to France?
No.
No idea.
No, we just lived, I think, from week to week, day to day. Mm.
Yes. Did you have to work very hard on that?
Not particularly, I don't think. Not particularly long hours. I suppose occasionally we were out at night. But
I was going to ask you whether there was any emphasis on operating at night.
Not much, as I remember. But I think we probably did a bit.
Yes. So the soldiers were going through the routine cycle of training. You were the platoon commander.
Yeah.
You mentioned your sergeant. What about your corporals and lance corporals? Were they... taken from the conscripts?
Can't remember, I'm afraid. I think they must have been. I can't remember other regular soldiers in the platoon other than the platoon sergeant.
You were saying that some of the more senior officers were a bit crusty. How did your company commander deal with you?
Well, I would regard him now as a bit dyed in the wool. That was my thing. I remember one occasion when we were about to go on weekend leave and somebody had discovered in a company, I don't think it was in my platoon, I can't quite remember, a spot of rust on one of our Bren guns.
That's shocking.
And he had us all in and he treated this as though it was about the worst crime that could possibly have been committed. And this went on for quite a long time. Anyway, he made his point, and then he let us go on weekend leave. But it was a pretty formal, that particular performance.
Did he come round regularly during the working day to see what was going on?
I don't think so. I can't remember, really.
So this
he was a wartime... I mean, he fought in the First World War, yes. so he... Yes. what we would regard as quite elderly. I would regard him now as a young man, of course.
Of course. But your soldiers then, presumably, were they doing individual training still, or had they worked up to
A good deal of individual training still, yes. But also working as a platoon out in the field.
Yes. Basic skills and yes. Platoon drills.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah.
How much warning did you have that you were going to be posted out to the 2nd Battalion in the field?
You know, a fortnight, perhaps? Not all that long, I don't think.
No. Did you know anything about what they were doing or where they were? You
well, I knew where they were in the BEF.
Yes.
So that's all we knew.
Yes. How did you get there? To the 2nd Battalion?
Well, we had to go across the channel by boat. Mm. And then I think we went in transport. I can't remember going in a train.
Were you part of a draft? Or
yes.
Yes.
And I remember going to a holding camp or something.
Would that
France.
Have been near Rouen, perhaps?
Could well have been. Yeah. And then I think, again, I was with three or four others, officers, who were sent up to the 2nd Essex.
What were your first impressions of France when you
well,
landed?
Well, it's almost unbelievable in these days, but I had never been abroad in my life. So there was I, brand new in the army, which I didn't know much about, in a country that was quite foreign to me. And I wasn't flabbergasted, but it was all very new and took a bit of time to get used to it.
Where were the battalion then when you joined them? What were they doing?
Well, I tell you what they were doing. They were what was called a pioneer battalion.
Oh.
And I think in the BEF, if my memory serves me right, there were four pioneer battalions, which were not attached to any formation, but had been employed during the winter in improving the lines of communication, roads and things like that. And when I joined, I think they were still on this task.
Just essentially navvying
yes,
work.
Yes, precisely. Mm. Yes. Yes.
Where were they based?
Somewhere near Lille, I think. Mm. I can't. In a village. I can't remember exactly where.
Where was your accommodation? Were you in a billet?
A billet, mm. Yeah, in a billet. Yeah.
Were the local French population still in place?
Yeah, they were indeed. Yeah. Oh, yes, I was in a house, French house. Yeah.
With a family?
Yes, family.
How did you get on with them?
All right, I think. Yeah. Using my schoolboy French, I think they're all right. Yeah. Very comfortable, actually.
And I think you were made, you were put in command of the mortar platoon.
Yeah.
Had you been trained to use the mortars?
No, absolutely not. Oh. This was
something new.
Looking back on it, this is almost incredible. But I was posted originally at a C company as a platoon commander.
Yeah.
And but I wasn't there very long, and we had a splendid commanding officer called Henry Blest, B-L-E-S-T.
Yeah.
And he was next World War One soldier, a great character. And he said to me, "Can you ride a motorcycle?" So I said, "Yes, I can ride a motorcycle, actually." "Right," he said, "you go to the mortar platoon." And I'd never heard of a 3-inch mortar, but there I was, in command of the mortar platoon.
So you arrived at the mortar platoon. How many tubes had you got?
Two mortars.
And how many in the platoon?
30, was it? 25? 30?
Yeah. Did they know how to operate the
weapon? Yes. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we had a splendid platoon sergeant called Sergeant Parker,
mm-hmm.
who took me under his wing pretty well and was very nice to me.
How long did it take for you to learn the necessary basic skills of using mortars?
I never really learnt.
You never learnt?
3-inch mortars until I went on a 3-inch mortar course when we were back in England in about July 44. Never really learnt.
Before the campaign began, the active campaign, did you have any opportunity to actually live fire your mortars?
No, not in France. Not that I remember. No.
So what were the platoon doing? Were they also engaged in road mending?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. And I think they did a bit of mortar training. I suppose I picked a bit up.
Mm.
But
could you see the connection between the ability to ride a motorcycle and commanding the mortars?
No, none. But the platoon commander, you see, was issued with a motorcycle.
Ah.
That was his official mode of transport.
He had to be able to ride.
And there was no platoon commander when I joined the battalion.
Tell me about the Sergeant Parker. Was he another old regular?
Yes, he was indeed. Mm. Yes, he was getting on, late 30s, I think. Mm.
Yeah. What about the soldiers in his platoon? Were they regulars?
Pretty well all regulars. The battalion, of course, this was only... Well, I suppose they went abroad in September. They'd only been there 5-6 months. And there'd been no wastage, I don't think, really. So they were all still... A lot of reservists, because a lot of them were reservists called up at the beginning of the war. But they were all basically regular soldiers.
Presumably, then, many of them would have been older than you.
Oh, much, yes. Yeah, a lot of them had been in India.
Yeah. You know. So how did you get on with taking control of them?
Well, I suppose it wasn't ideal, really.
Never
start,
is.
No. But I suppose we managed all right. You know. I mean, we were lucky. I was lucky, because in the three-week campaign, we never fired our mortars once. So, and if we had, I think Sergeant Parker would have really had to take charge.
He would have been carry-on sergeant.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Where did your soldiers come from? Were they Essex men?
Yeah, I think, Irishmen.
Some Irishmen.
Because we recruited a lot of Irishmen pre-war. Mm. And, but basically Essex,
What was their sort of state of mind when you joined them? Because they'd been out in France since September and they'd had a fairly hard winter and they'd been digging and navvying rather than soldiering. You know, were they in an optimistic frame of mind?
No, they were all right. I mean, you see, they all had known each other in the regular army at some time, whether they were reservists or were serving at the outbreak of war. And it was like going back to the club, I think, when they all were called up again, and they sort of carried on.
Where were they living? Were they in billets as well?
I think they must have been. I can't really remember.
Yeah. What could you do when you weren't actually working? Was there any chance of recreation?
Well, we used to play games, football, things, yes. I don't think it was much social entertainment. I suppose we had a naffy. I can't remember that.
Did you have the regimental band?
I can't remember. Certainly didn't make any impression on me if we had. I'm not sure whether they were out or not.
What happened then on the 10th of May when the balloon went up? Do you remember how you first heard that things were starting to happen?
I think one heard a tremendous number of aircraft suddenly. Yeah. And you didn't know whose aircraft, but I think you thought, oh dear, something's happening. And then I suppose it must have been very shortly we were told to pack our bags and move east.
How long did it take you to get packed up and ready for move?
Hardly any time at all, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's a case of stuffing things into the valise.
I think so, yeah.
And do you remember if there was a formal orders group to tell you what you were going to do and
I can't remember.
How to do
My
it?
My memory is pretty hazy, really. Yeah. I suppose there must have been. Mm. But in those days, we were in headquarter company. There wasn't a support company.
Yes, it was all headquarter
company. And we had a very nice headquarter company commander. And if there had been an O group, I think he would have gone to it and not me. Ah. And then he'd have had his own O group.
How did you move east then when you were
in
ordered?
Trucks, I think. Yeah.
Were these RASC troop carriers?
I imagine, I think. Mm. I imagine some may have been requisitioned. I don't know, can't remember.
What sort of transport did the mortar platoon have then? Were you all in one
We had 1,500 wheels.
Ah. Were they organic to the
platoon?
Yes.
To the platoon.
So you got your own transport?
Yeah. We had two, I think. I think we had one for each section. Mm. And then I had a motorcycle, and I think the platoon sergeant had a motorcycle. Yeah.
So you were off almost independent then on your motorbike?
Yeah, but I think we kept with our 1,500
You were travelling in a packet?
Yes.
How did you know which way to go? Were you given a map or directions, or were you just following the column?
I think we were following. I think the whole battalion was moving as one unit. Mm. Yes.
What do you remember about that journey forward?
Not much. Mm. In fact, nothing, really. Mm. The thing I remember, of course, about the campaign was we were always on the move. Mm. I mean, never stopped moving for 3 weeks. And the first few days we were moving east, and the rest of the time we were moving west. Mm.